Well, as we prepare for a visit, a special visitor today from JC, let us turn to Scripture. Hear the Word of God. I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Didn't realize you were here.
Wait a minute. What day and time is it? It's not Sunday around 10 o'clock in the morning, is it? Oh man, I'm supposed to be preaching. And I'm not ready. And where are my glasses? I'm always misplacing them. I need them to read what I've been. Oh, here they are. Ah, wait a minute. I'm having a dream. Thank God it's just a dream. In fact, it's a recurring nightmare I have that it's Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and my sermon isn't ready. Wow. Well, as long as I'm dreaming, I might as well let my subconscious run loose, and maybe when I wake up, my sermon will be done. Though sometimes the things that you dream don't sound as good when you wake up. You can't remember actually what you have dreamed. Well, with it being for the 4th of July weekend, what I'm apparently dreaming about is an historical program centered around J.C., not Jesus Christ, but James Caldwell. That's why I'm reading this book, by the way. James Caldwell. What a life. I would love to be able to meet him and talk to him about what it was like to be a pastor in this nation when it was coming into being, being a pastor of this congregation. This plaque right over here, sacred to the memory of Reverend James Caldwell, 1734 to 1781, pastor, scholar, patriot, moderator of the first meeting of the congregation, February 21st, 1779. For him, this parish was named, dedicated April 4th, 1976. Gosh, what amazing challenges these young pioneers must have faced as they set out to forge a nation. I wonder what it would be like today. I wonder what he would think about American life in this, the 21st century. I wonder what he would think about this church still being here some, 230 years later.
Good morning, Dr. Summers.
How do you know my name? Who are you, and more importantly, why are you dressed like that?
I know your name because this is your dream. As for me, my name is James Caldwell. Weren't you just wondering what it would be like to talk to me?
Yes, but...
Well, here I am. And I must say, it's great to be back here in Horseneck, especially on such an important day.
Well, Reverend Caldwell, by the way, this town is now called Caldwell.
Really? I don't think that would have been my first choice.
Well, from what I know of you in my reading, it was well chosen. This is amazing. The Reverend James Caldwell. You know, my research revealed something that these folks may not know. We have something in common, and I'm not talking about the fact that we're both Presbyterian ministers. Where were you born?
Cub Creek, Virginia.
Virginia. I knew it. Virginia. That explains everything. See, so was I. Virginia breeds sons and daughters who can survive and thrive anywhere, even New Jersey. On a serious note, why don't you fill us in on a bit of your family history?
Well, my parents, John Caldwell and Margaret Phillips, emigrated from Scotland via Ireland to America, landing in Newcastle, Delaware in 1727. After several years of searching for a place where they could find some small measure of religious freedom, they landed in Cub Creek. I was born there April 14th, 1734, and was their seventh son.
Seventh, wow, that's a lot of kids. Obviously, family played a very important part in your life. What were the influences that led you to enter the ministry?
Well, throughout my formative years, I always recall the effort of my father and the other community leaders to abolish the spiritual tyranny that still existed in Virginia. I was also influenced by the ministers who served the Cub Creek community, specifically Reverend Caleb Wallace. He was in the forefront of the struggle for religious freedom. Anyway, after finishing my studies at the Classic School in Virginia, I went to attend New Jersey College, graduated in 1759. And thereafter, I started my theology studies and was approved for ordination in 1760.
Interesting. So it was college. I think New Jersey College grew into Princeton University that first brought you from the South up north. Where did you go after ordination? Where did you go? Did you stay here in New Jersey?
Well, interestingly, I was assigned to go to the Carolinas.
Carolinas? Did you say the Carolinas?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Virginia? The Carolinas? Linas? This guy's got a lot going for him. Maybe James Caldwell has been reincarnated as me. Could it be?
Well,
I interrupted. I'm sorry. You went to the Carolinas.
To preach to the many small churches in that frontier community. And when my assignment was done, I returned to New Jersey in 1762 and was installed as the pastor at Elizabethtown.
Yeah, that's the church, Elizabethtown, with which you were most often identified as you served it for nearly 30 years. 1762. Wow, that's just 14 years before July 4th, 1776, the date that became our Independence Day. Must have been a dramatic time in which to live as you sought to minister to the congregation right here. I read somewhere that in New Jersey, approximately a third of the population sided with the independence movement, a third remained loyal to England, and the other third remained neutral. It's well documented that you strongly supported the freedom movement. In fact, I have heard you referred to as the fighting parson. There's even, you need to check it out, While you're here, there's a commemorative plaque on a stone right outside by the bus stop, and it reads, "There are times when it is righteous as well as to pray, where there are times when it is righteous to fight as well as to pray. Reverend James Caldwell, in whose honor this community was named, early espoused the country's cause in the War of American Independence. Chaplain, Quartermaster General in Washington's army, sterling patriot, fearless preacher, martyr on freedom's altar." As the plaque indicates, you played so many roles in our country's history. What was it like to be part of that independence movement?
Well, you know, the Presbyterian Church supported the call for independence. Many ministers, myself included, took that message to our congregations and encouraged them to embrace the cause of liberty. Scores of men from this area took up arms and joined the 3rd New Jersey Regiment. I became their chaplain. Their actions motivated me to do everything in my power to support them for both their temporal and their spiritual needs.
Well, not only were you their chaplain, but as history records, you served in other capacities as well. Is it true that you preached with pistols in the pulpit because the British were after you?
Yes, because I preached the cause of liberty to my congregation, the British put a price on my head, so I always kept 2 loaded pistols close at hand. We also put lookouts up in the bell towers.
Well, just between you and me, sometimes I feel like I need to have a couple of pistols up here loaded and ready. But for other reasons than yours. Wow, it's amazing what surfaces in your subconscious when you're dreaming, isn't it? Wow. You know, the Presbyterian Church produced a video several years ago about the history, the theology of the denomination. And in the segment on the early years of our nation, it talked about a pastor in the Northeast, they didn't name him, in the Northeast, who, when the wadding of the muskets and the guns of the Patriots ran out, he went into a local church, tore the pages out of the hymnals, called Watts hymnals because of the hymn writer Isaac Watts, and took them out there saying, "Put Watts in them, boys." And when I got here to Caldwell close to 8 years ago, I discovered that was you.
Yes, it was the Battle of Springfield. The Rhode Island Regiment was desperately trying to hold back the British and Hessian forces. When I saw they ran out of wadding, I rode to the small church in the center of Springfield, scooped up an armful of hymnals, and brought them back. At the time, it seemed like the reasonable thing to do.
Well, I'm not sure others would have thought that quickly. You know, a conversation with you would not be complete without reference to your family, especially your wife, Hannah. Some here may not be aware of the circumstances surrounding her death, or that her death is depicted on the seal of the County of Union here in New Jersey. Would you be willing to share some thoughts on that dark time, what had to be a dark time in your life?
The British force halted at Springfield. But the rear guard and their Tory sympathizers plundered and set fire to the homes and buildings in Connecticut Farms. I wasn't home at the time. Hannah decided to stay in the parsonage with the two youngest children. Later, Catherine Benward, the children's nurse, stated that she heard the shot ring out, followed by the sound of flying glass. The lead ball found its mark. She was a dear woman, a dedicated mother and wife. The community was outraged. Her death became a rallying cry for the defenders of liberty.
Well, thank you for sharing, and maybe it will be some consolation to you to know that some years after your death, her grave was moved beside yours there in the Elizabeth Church Cemetery. Well, Reverend Caldwell, how does it make you feel to see your name on a stone on our church lawn, on a plaque in this sanctuary, to have towns named after you? It must in some way be gratifying.
You know what? I see that plaque. I can't help but think about all the sacrifices made by so many men and women in defense of liberty. Sacrifices made for others.
Sacrifice. I bet you worked that theme, tying it to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross into many of your sermons, which I understand were typically 2 hours long. Ray. And you preach 3 or 4 per week? Jeez. Whew. This congregation has been around for some 230 years, Reverend Caldwell. Though you were never its pastor, you obviously were instrumental in its founding. Several years ago, we celebrated our 225th anniversary, and our theme that year was Generations of Generosity, and we lifted up the graciousness of God as reflected in the generations which have gone before us, many like you who sacrificed so much. As one of the earliest generations, if not the earliest generation in our church's history, in this nation's history, what final words would you care to share with us from across the centuries?
Each person, no matter how humble, has dignity before the Lord. And oppression by worldly powers is contrary to God's law. Let us all remember that today and every day.
Preach it, brother.
I hope our conversation has provided you with some material for your sermon. And I hope you remember it when you wake up. Good day, Dr. Summers. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you be faithful in ministry here in Horseneck. I'm sorry, I can't call Caldwell.
Thank you, Reverend Caldwell. Wow.
What a man. We owe him and so many others so much. Makes you feel ever so humble, does it not? Gosh, I hope I remember this when I wake up in the morning, because it would be a shame not to be able to share it with folks.
Well, like I said, it's good to have progress. We have air conditioning now. I invite you into a nightmare with me. No air conditioning, a 2-hour sermon, and Rick preaching next week with two guns in the pulpit.